The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Well, Tiffany, I didn't plan this, but the Lord spoke to you about that song, because that song's about being a person that's weak that needs the Lord. You get into a position almost just about daily. If you look closely what's going on in your life, you find yourself in a position that you can't get through without the help of the Lord. We're going to look at some scripture today that helps us deal with that, understand that. I know this is an important season to sports fans, and you may not be a follower of this particular sport, but if you do, it's March, and March is a big deal. I don't watch a single college basketball game until March. Don't have time for it. It takes too much time, and I don't know the teams, don't even know the players. I don't know the coaches that well. I do know LSU because we get so much information from that, and they're doing so well. But I don't know anybody else. But when March comes around, we start watching this tournament, and people who don't like sports will sit down or maybe even fill out a bracket and turn a bracket in as a game to see if they can guess who will win the tournament ultimately. But we all sit down, and we start watching this, and we get excited about it. We get excited about teams that come out of nowhere, and suddenly this team that came out of nowhere that nobody knew about, talked about, is on the screen, and we want them to do well because they're facing someone that is better than them on paper, maybe better than them in record. It's the old story of rooting for the underdog. Any of you in here ever find yourself rooting for the underdog? It's good to do that. We like to do that. I think it's in our nature to want to see something happen good for someone it doesn't seem like something good could happen for. If you look at Scripture, you're going to find lots of stories that are woven into the passages of Scripture where God comes behind someone, that undergirds someone, that strengthens someone that is weak in order to accomplish what His will is. We see God working through those who may not be capable, but all of their capability comes from Him. Now, this message, when I was getting ready to preach this week, I was thinking about this church. This church is like a lot of churches, and this is one of those weeks I don't look forward to. I spent about 12-hour days in little conference rooms discussing statistics and trends in the church nationwide. That's a lot. It's kind of boring. Kind of boring because you're having to sit still. You can't be active. You can't do you can't do it and go do fun things. You're having to think a little bit. So we're sitting in this room. We're thinking. We're analyzing. We're looking at. And what happens is by the halfway through that, I start to get a little bit scared or worried for smaller churches. Fear that things are not going their way, that they're going to eventually dry up and die. Now, in our state, we have about 1,600 Baptist churches, and of those Baptist churches, we only have about 200 of them that people even consider large. Everyone else would be a smaller church. Most of the churches in the state, about 1,000 of them, are churches under 100 attending members. So that is what really qualifies as a small church. This church would be in that category of small churches. We look at the circumstances that they're facing or the culture they're facing, and it is challenging. We live in a very challenging world. It's not like it was just a few years ago. People are distracted. Their desires are filled by other things, and they're not naturally drawn to gathering together to worship the Lord. Y'all see that happening? Towns change. People move away. And when they do, the churches don't naturally replace or easily replace those people that are members of that church. So the numbers dwindle a little every year where you're into a small congregation. This church has dealt with that. So, boy, I started off on a positive note today, didn't I? We're dealing with that. We're dealing with all of the things that churches are facing all over the country, all the changes. and it looks like something that is insurmountable, that you cannot get past this great big barrier that's in front of us, reaching the world, growing as a church. It looks too big to accomplish. You may face those things personally, where the thing that is in your life that is oppressive, coming on you, that is discouraging you, that is causing you to worry, is so big you can't get through that. But we need to be reminded, and we're reminded today and often, that God is bigger than all the things that we face. He's bigger than cultural trends. He's bigger than finances. He's bigger than relationship problems. He's bigger than communities that are changing. He's bigger than all those things, and ultimately, He will be glorified in the end. If you look at the book of the whole Bible, you can read stories in the Old Testament that will encourage you and strengthen you. You can see the work and acts of Jesus in the New Testament and the apostles. And then at the very end, you see the end of the story. And the end of the story is that God reigns the universe. Now, I want us to turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm not going to do this whole chapter. We're going to just skim over this chapter. I could have picked a dozen stories very easily for someone who was an underdog, someone that was behind the eight ball, somebody that was struggling, somebody that needed help, had the father come in behind him and strengthen him and help him succeed. But I picked this one, and you'll know this one. 1 Samuel 17, now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damon between Socah and Azekah. Now, I didn't pronounce any of those right, just so you know. You can pronounce them how you want to. That's just how I've learned to say them. Verse 2, Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. And I think you probably know this story. This is the story of David and Goliath. Now, you have Goliath that is the leader of the Philistine army that is oppressing, that is attacking the people of Israel. And the men of Israel are having difficulty with that. They're fearful because of what they're facing. This is the kind of man he was, verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits, 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet. That's a big old dude, by the way. I face some big old people. I could tell you football stories all day long, and I try not to do that, but I was a 185-pound offensive lineman. I was little. Little be playing line. And faced many Goliaths in my life, but usually that particular Goliath stepped on me and kept on going. This Goliath's going to do something different. This great big man carrying this great big equipment, he is facing the people of Israel, and he is taunting them, and he's saying things to them that are that is offensive to their God and to the people of Israel. Let's go down to 14. We're going to meet his opposer, David the youngest. Talking about David, the David we all know from the Old Testament. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. So we have David, that's the least of the family. He's taking care of the sheep. He's not even going to war. He comes up and he sees what's happening with the people of Israel and what they're facing. And he is enraged by the lack of faith of the men of Israel. Verse 20, early in the morning, David left the flock in care of the shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. So he is there on the front. He's an observer, but he wants to know exactly what's happening. Skip on down to verse 33. David decides he's going to get involved with this, by the way. He feels that the Lord is with him. The Lord has been with him his entire life. And if he is to face Goliath, he can handle that giant. So he is going to stand up and be a man that is maybe too small to fight, but God is going to use. Verse 33, Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant," David's talking about himself, "your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David had confidence because he had been through crisis before in his life. He had faced opposition. He had faced difficult times. He had saw something that was insurmountable in front of him. But the Lord delivered that enemy into his hands. He was able to conquer it. He had experiences when he was young. And as he grew up, the more he saw his faith tested, the stronger he got. So it was just a natural step for him to stand in front of this giant and say, "The Lord will deliver this giant into my hands." Because he had faith. The crisis in our life that we faced, when we trust the Lord, undergirds that faith. It gives us confidence that the Lord is going to be with us. You've probably faced some things in your life where you needed some help. You probably faced some things in your life where you could not have gotten through this if the Lord had not been with you. Now, you're not supposed to tell kids stories of your own kids, but I am going to tell a grandkid story. Our little granddaughter, Lily, was born in a hospital in New Orleans at 25 weeks. At 25 weeks, your chances of survival are pretty slim. But she was able to get good medical care and people taking care of her. Her mother gave her up for adoption. So she was there alone in that hospital room, and really, she not very big. She weighed about a pound, about this big, little baby. The nurses took care of her there in the NICU and basically adopted her. One particular nurse bought her clothes as she grew, so she always had new clothes and was taken care of and loved on, and people would come in from all parts of the hospital to talk with her for a few minutes. The doctors would visit her every day, and she grew up to be about, I'd say she was about 5 pounds by the time we met her. We met her, and my daughter adopted her, and she was still on oxygen, where she had oxygen 24 hours a day. She had a tube in her stomach that she received her food from, but she was very lively. And it was funny to watch that little bitty baby, just 5 pounds in someone's hands, strong and kind of writhing around and trying to grow and take on the world, still attached to all those tubes. We brought her home, and she began to grow, and she stayed on oxygen for another year. And throughout that year, she just continued to grow. She began to eat real food, and she has grown up to be quite strong and quite active. She's 2 years and about 4 months now. She's not on any kind of oxygen, not on any kind of medication. She doesn't have the feeding tube in her stomach anymore. She removed it herself twice in the last 3 months. And then we finally said, she's going to keep pulling it out, so let's just take it out. She doesn't have the feeding tube anymore. Every doctor that sees her says she's a miracle. Every doctor that reads her chart and says, I expected somebody else to be here when you came in the door. I didn't expect this baby to look like this, to be this strong, to be this active, to be able to talk, to be able to feed herself. If you were to see her on the street, you wouldn't know the difference. You wouldn't know. And then they say this. They say the only babies that survive are the babies that have a will to live. This baby from birth had a will to live, and had a desire to make it. Now, everybody else that knows better, those that know the Lord, know that the Lord had a plan for this baby's life. Had a plan. She's blessed our family. She's blessed my daughter. She's been encouraging. You can sit with her for about 30 minutes and your whole day is better. That's like a lot of grandkids though, isn't it? That's kind of like most of them. She's a miracle. Insurmountable odds that only the Lord could have gotten her through. If he could do those kind of things for that baby, he can do those kind of things for you. He can bring you out of whatever you're trapped in, whatever you're caught in, whatever you're struggling through, whatever crisis is in your life, whatever pain that you may have, what you're facing. The Lord can and will get you through those things when you trust him. David is just one example in the Old Testament. We see David face Goliath, and when he faces Goliath, he conquers him. He not only conquers him, he devastates the army. All in the name of the Lord. Verse 40. He took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, so he's not just fighting. By the way, Goliath's not fighting by himself. He's got a shield bearer helping him out. As he kept coming closer to David, he looked at David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and then he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." And David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." Pretty bold, isn't it? That's big talk for a little boy. That big talk comes from his confidence in the Lord. Verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Now, I've been excited about that last part for most of my spiritual life, my life as a believer. That action, when he pulled out that sling, grabbed one of those stones, slung that stone, hit that giant in the forehead, he fell to the ground. But I've completely read past the first part of this verse. David ran to meet him in battle. He ran and readied himself to meet him in battle. He took the position. One of these underdog stories, story of it's Texas Western in 1966. You may have seen a movie about it. It's the first university to have all African-American players on the team. They were underdogs at a little bitty school out in El Paso, Texas. They got into the great tournament. They made their way through the tournament, faced ultimately the University of Kentucky was the giant, and they defeated the giant. But along the way, as they faced all of these obstacles, they faced them with confidence. They faced them with confidence. As believers, we face the enemies of our life with confidence. And that confidence does not come in our own ability. That confidence comes completely from the Lord that carries us. We can be ready for the fight. We can be ready for what we face, because we know the Lord's on our side. So what does that mean for a church? Let me tell you what it means for this church. It means you just go ahead and get ready for the next Bible study that you're going to do in the community, because the Lord's going to be there with you. Go ahead and prepare. Go ahead and plan. Go ahead and promote. Get ready for the next vacation Bible school that you have that you're going to invite kids to, thinking that maybe nobody's going to come, maybe they will. I don't know what's going to happen. We may have too many. We may not have enough teachers. Whatever it is, you get yourself ready, because the Lord is the Lord of Manny. He's in charge of this town. He's the one that is going to carry you through what you face. you could have confidence in him. You're writing down notes, just something you can write in the margins of your Bible. Weakness requires dependence on the Lord. Our weakness requires dependence on the Lord. I want you to flip in the Bible just a little further. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We saw the story of David and Goliath, and we could have talked about Gideon. We could have talked about Deborah. We could have talked about lots of folks from the Old Testament that faced giants. But I want us to talk about Jehoshaphat for a minute. 2 Chronicles 21, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites and some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. And some people came out and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazazon Tamar. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Let me tell you something that we can learn from this story that's a little bit different than this, the story of David and Goliath. Is that Jehoshaphat, the minute that he knew he was facing opposition, he turned to the Father and called the people of the Lord to worship. Verse 4. People of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people of Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in distress, and you will hear us and save us. They had confidence, no matter what they faced, they could cry out to the Lord for help. Verse 10. But now here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us for coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You can underline that, you can memorize that, you can claim that, you can start living that as a church. We may not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. It's difficult to preach this kind of message to capable people. If you're highly educated and capable and have great jobs and have done well in life and you've raised your kids and they've gone off and been successful and maybe you're accomplishing great things in school yourself right now. All these things, when you're a capable person, it is difficult for you to understand that you may need the Lord. I want to tell you, every single person gets to the situation, gets to the end of themselves, and needs to know or is reminded of they need the Lord. No matter how capable you are. I spent 30 years with highly accomplished professional people. Every class that I would get into a college, and if you're a visitor here, I've worked my entire career as a college minister. Every class would just be full of valedictorians. High school valedictorians that went off to college, and they're at college, and they're doing well, and they're having great experience, and they haven't faced any obstacles in life, and all of a sudden something happens and they face an obstacle. When I think of this particular phrase, this that we read from the scripture, I think of one face, one girl. Valedictorian of her high school, star volleyball player, gone to college, everybody loved her, she was homecoming queen, she got into philosophy class with a professor that loved to tear apart Christians. She's in this class with this professor that loved to tear apart Christians, and his first lecture was basically a way to identify who claimed faith in Jesus. He would lecture about philosophy, and he would lecture about or give an overview of the class, and he would ask people to give their worldview, and these students would stand up, and some were naive, and some were not, and some were articulate, and some were not. But all around the room, people would proclaim their faith in Jesus. And he would let them sit back down, then he would take the bully pulpit, and he would tear them down for the rest of the class. So that would happen the first day, that would also happen the second day. It would happen the next day. In some way, he would tear down their faith, and those that were that had stronger faith would confront him with their beliefs. But they weren't as articulate as this older man that had been around, that had spent his whole life debating over this particular belief. And he would defeat them. This girl Carrie, she came into my office one day and was crying, upset. And it wasn't a cry because her feelings would hurt. It was a mad cry. You know what a mad cry is? She had mad cry, ugly face. Red face, tears going down, mascara, and she was ready to punch somebody. She didn't know what to do. She was frustrated with what she was facing. My intern was sitting next to me, and he was also naive, and he decided he was going to go run out and confront the professor for being mean to this little girl. That didn't last very long, by the way. He didn't win that argument. I encouraged her that the Lord was with her, and he would strengthen her and help her to get through this. And it was only 14 weeks. She's going to make it. It's going to be okay. And she would go back to class and come back upset and go back to class, come back upset. But she ended up making an A in the class, and he was just challenging her belief system, trying to help her learn, even though he's a little bit mean about it. This mean guy, later in her career, about the fourth year of her college career, stood up in the class to lecture and turned to write on the board. He had lost so much weight that his clothes didn't fit anymore. He was just cinching up his belt so he could keep his pants on. And he turned to the board and began to write. And as he wrote, his pants fell to his feet. This proud, aggressive, mean-spirited, hateful man had been humbled by cancer. I didn't get to have a relationship with him where I could find out if he ever turned to the Lord. I knew he knew of the Lord because student after student after student shared their testimony to him as he challenged them. He was Goliath. He was an Ammonite. He was a Moabite. He was the opposition to the people of God. And God humbled him. Verse 15, do not be afraid. I'm back in 2 Chronicles 20. Do not be afraid and discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle's not yours, but it's God's. Look at verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. So go out, get ready for the fight. Get in the position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. And then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord and God of Israel with a very loud voice. And early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa, and they set out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. I want you to find what happens here in Jehoshaphat's life journey is that while he was traveling to face the giant, he worshiped. While he was en route for the battle, he worshiped. As a church, as this body, we can rejoice, we can have great joy, and we can sing, and we can praise. We face what is in front of us because we know the Lord's fighting the battle for us. We can trust him. Verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy them and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped destroy one another. So this great vast army that was working together, coming against the people of God, were advancing on the people of God. They turned against each other and destroyed each other. And the Lord did the work before the people of Israel ever arrived. Verse 24, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies laying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder it took 3 days to collect it. In the battle that God fought, he blessed his people. In the process of the battle, he blessed his people. And what happened on the fourth day? On the fourth day, they worshiped. In process of the battle, they worshiped. After the victory, they worshiped. Verse 28, they entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpet. The fear of God came on all of the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. The kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for as God had given him rest on every side. The Lord delivers us when we rely on him. So we, you, this church, we can walk in confidence because he fights the battle for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. This is a memory verse that I taught every student in my career. Every student. Because no matter how strong they were, how capable they were, they doubted themselves. Down deep on the inside, something about them, they doubted themselves. And they would keep, the enemy would show them their weaknesses, and they would see those weaknesses, and those weaknesses would be in the forefront of their mind, and they would not always see the strengths and the blessings that God had given them. So we memorized this verse. We talked about this verse. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. And here's the verse or the sentence that we underscore. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God shows himself in the weakness of his people. You can't speak publicly? Guess what? The Lord's going to show himself to you. You can't talk and teach Sunday school. You can't study very well. You let the Lord use you. You'll be amazed what he does through you. Too shy to witness to people, to tell them about Jesus, that's when he's the most powerful. You can't give financially because you don't have anything to give, and that's when he provides the most. When you are weak, he is strong. That principle is all through Scripture, from the very beginning. When we learn that, we can face any giant. Any giant. So when our weakness displays his strength, God is glorified. He gets the honor, we don't get the honor. I tell people all the time, I mean, the Lord put me in a position of authority over lots of folks. And I tell them all the time, he could have picked anybody. Could have picked anybody. Could have used anyone to do what I do. He just chose to use the weakest so he can get the glory. That's how it's been. You want to believe that God could do great things in Manny, Louisiana? He can do it through this church for sure. For sure. Then when he does those things, we need to worship. We need to give him the glory. We don't need to take it from him. If you look at all these stories in the Old Testament of God bringing victory, in every one of them, his people worshiped. So we're not standing here to recite songs on Sunday. It's not an exercise of our vocal ability. These are actions of us proclaiming the glory of God. We do that because of the victories that he has won for us. I've got to tell you, I thought about this passage all week long about you, about the church in general. But yesterday, I started thinking about the individual. There is someone that will hear these words that is facing a giant today that they don't think they can conquer. There's somebody. This thing goes out on Facebook. It's on the radio. It's here in this room. These words have been read to lots of people. And there's someone facing a giant. And the victory is the Lord's. Just trust him. Father, I thank you for so many reminders that you take weak people and make them strong with your strength. You take inarticulate people and you speak volumes through them. You take us that can't sing and you bring praises to your name. You give boldness to the fearful. You give hope to the downhearted. And Father, I pray that today that people see that real in their life and they're encouraged by your presence. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.